Hello to our lovely listeners. It's time once again for us to discuss the happenings and hearsay of the gaming world. We've had lots of announcements from the Sony State of Play and the Summer Game Fest, as well as some curious Capcom developments. No time for dilly-dallying. It's time for the first part of the Summer Spectacular Newsreel.
Hello, hello, all you lovely people, and welcome back to the Missing Manual podcast. And I tell you what, it's been a hot minute. There's been so much going on in the wonderful world of gaming. Isn't that right, Zach?
Yeah. Summertime is definitely here. Like, it's crazy, crazy hot right now. There's so much, and we're just going to have to hit the ground running,
hot,
I think.
Hot in real life and hot in the video game scene as well.
Yeah, it's insane. Like,
man, is mounting.
I'm sweating. The games industry is sweating games. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
You're sat there like you're in some like Cuban jail with like a vest on, like a mesh vest,
yeah,
cigar and some shades. Sat there like, oh, it's hot today. We have some absolute fire stuff to cover. So really, there's been a massive string of just announcement ceremonies, basically, from like the end of last month to like the beginning of now. It's just kind of been non-stop, really. We had Games Workshop did a big event with their Skull from the Skull Throne, which is normally just a big Steam sale, but they've started to kind of announce more stuff with it as well, which is really good, and use it as a platform for kind of exclusively Warhammer games.
It's nice. Yeah, it's they've turned a fire sale into an actual like announcement event,
and they show off. Yeah, they regularly show off new stuff with it, which is really good. Especially if you're a Warhammer fan, it's sort of become like a Sony State of Play, but exclusively for Warhammer games, which is kind of cool. We've also had Sony as well did a small State of Play. We've had the Summer Games Fest, which is a big gaming kind of event held by the Game Awards people who normally do the Game Awards, as sort of like a summer interim period because of no E3 anymore, basically. So this has basically become E3 now. PC Gamer also did one. There wasn't too much new stuff in that. They kind of just did some more stuff that a lot of other companies announced. And there was also Capcom as well. Capcom did their little showcase, which is kind of cute.
Yes, yeah. There's some funky little bits and pieces to talk about there as well. So we'll definitely cover those today.
Oh, and also Bethesda and Xbox did their one as well.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. A fucking another one.
And another one.
And another one, sir. And another one. But diving right in. Let's start with a game that we're both very excited for in the future, and that is Space Marine 2, of course.
Yes, yeah. I mean, we have already kind of covered this a little bit on our podcast here.
We have indeed.
But yeah, there hasn't been too much new information, but I've seen a couple of little tidbits here and there, a couple of interviews with the guys from Saber Interactive as well, who are obviously spearheading the project. It's looking really promising, to be honest. I think the kind of the biggest thing that came out of the interview, they were discussing the volume of enemies that you're going to be seeing on screen. Like, they really want to capture that, you know, that kind of feeling that you are surrounded by thousands of enemies. And with their Saber Swarm engine that they're running with, they're looking to make that a reality. So we're gonna see that kind of very much in the same way, with that kind of awe-inspiring moment in the World War Z games, where you're just you're looking at a sea of enemies running towards
mad undead everywhere.
So yeah, and hopefully we're gonna get that, but with the Tyranid Swarm. So
I think that's really that does the Tyranids such good justice, doesn't it, as well? You know, I feel like you couldn't have them any other way. You know what I mean?
No, that's it. You know, I feel like it's almost like they've waited for the right time to bring this game out, because technology is now, you know, how a little bit with like Jim Cameron, where he waited with Avatar until the technology had caught up.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like they've almost done that with this as well, you know, where they've waited for the right game engine to be there so we can
100%, yeah. Like, the original was fantastic, obviously. It had the orcs in it, and that obviously was quite a load of enemies as well, isn't it? But the orcs don't really swarm like the Tyranids swarm, you know? Like, material swarm it. Like an organism, don't they? Like a living creature.
They do, yeah. They are like a tide. Like, obviously, you know, the Yorks are known as the Green Tide, right? But they're big and stocky and bulky, and they kind of sort of climb over each other, but they just kind of...
Whereas these guys are like wriggling, writhing, and kind of like worms, you know, aren't they? Like worms, like rolling around and moving towards the thing they're looking for. So what they've shown off so far in the trailers looks phenomenal. Like, the Tyranids look mean, look creepy, the environments look clean as fuck as well.
They do, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And to be honest, I'm very pleased with kind of the devs' passion for the project as well, which is nice to see. It seems like they're really, they are Warhammer fans themselves, which is fantastic to hear. And they're also really pushing the lore angle, which I think is fantastic. Like, they are portraying Space Marines exactly how they should be portrayed in the lore, and I'm loving that.
Yeah, that's it. Like, they the guys that I was that I watched in the interview, they, you know, they actually went to the Warhammer Museum in Nottingham,
in ye olde Nottingham.
Yeah, and that's it. And they really wanted to capture, you know, they kind of saw all of those massive dioramas that were set up with hundreds and hundreds of models. And they were like, we want to make this come to life. We want this, but we want it to be moving.
We want it in the game.
Yeah. So, absolutely. With that, the passion is definitely not lacking. And I think they have the tools and they have the talent to pull it off. So I'm really looking forward to it. The combat is going to be very, very visceral. You can tell that they're going to take a lot of footnotes from the first game.
Yes, yes, completely.
Better, bigger and better.
Yeah, and that's what it needs, because the first game itself, right, I think was, I mean, it was fantastic. It had everything you needed. It was essentially Gears of War, right? But Warhammer Gears of War, which is not a bad mixture, is it?
Yeah, I think what they did with the Space Marine game, what they're kind of looking to do with this one as well, is that whereas Gears of War was very cover focused, this is a very much a kind of a fight through kind of combat, where it is just like you're constantly pushing forward. There's no time to stop. If you stop, you die.
Yeah.
So they've really emphasized the fast paced action that you're going to get from the game.
Yeah. It's like big and it's like chunky, isn't it? Like, everything looks chunky and feels chunky, which is exactly how I describe the combat in Gears of War, really. Everything feels kind of big and bulky and just very chunky, very, like, you know, just bulk, like heft. Everything has heft to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything has weight. And I think that's part of the immersion as well, right? When when games, there are many games that have come and gone, and the combat's always felt a little bit floaty. You know, when you hit something with a melee weapon, it doesn't actually feel like you're hitting anything. It just kind of glides through the pixels, doesn't it? Yeah. I would say Dead Island is a good example of that. The combat in that feels very floaty. You remember Dead Island?
Right? It feels a bit lacking.
It does. But when you hit something in Space Marine, and what it looks like with Space Marine 2, it just feels like you're just, you know, the chainsaw is going to bite into that carapace. And
feels guttural, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, yeah. So they really seem to have captured that in the combat, and I'm looking forward to seeing more. I'm hoping that that we'll get some more gameplay soon, so we can really.
Mate, fingers crossed, 100%. I'm very much, very much looking forward to seeing if we get some more juicy gameplay. Because, like I said, this stuff was nice. There were some in-game shots which looked good. Like I said, it looks good. It feels good. Again, I'm hoping they can deliver. I mean, like I said, the team seems very talented. The trailer was really good. It was really fun. I think it also didn't have the dude who's playing Titus in it as well. Didn't have a section about him.
He did a little, little, he was having a little chat about it as well, which was kind of cool.
It's interesting. Because obviously we've got a different voice actor this time, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. So Mark Strong was in the first one. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember the guy who is going to be voicing him. We mentioned it in the episode when we covered Space Marine 2, the announcement trailer.
Yes, we did.
I think he's going to do a great job. Like, am I disappointed that we're not going to get Mark Strong again? Yeah, because I love Mark Strong, right? Yeah. But we're going to give this guy a chance, right? He's probably going to knock it out of the park.
100%. I mean, he sounds like he's doing his homework on it, right? Which is good. He understands the world, which is also good as well. Like I said, I think that's key. That's immensely key. And, like, I feel like that was captured so well in the initial trailer, like, just from the other characters that appeared in the trailer as well. You had Titus and his Marines, but it's like the Guardsman, like the way the Guardsman reacts to the Space Marines. That's cool as fuck.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
That's cool as fuck.
I think the change of voice actor is almost kind of symbolic as well, because it's almost like we're playing a different Titus. You know, he's been through some shit.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, you know, spoilers for the end of Space Marine, but obviously in the Space Marine ends in a bit of a sticky situation for our boy Titus, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I'm hoping, I know they're going to fill in the gaps, right? They're going to have to fill the gaps in and tell us what the hell's happened to him over the period of time from the last game to now.
Yeah, he does end himself in quite a bit of a situation. So I'm not sure how he kind of went from that to being a Primaris Marine, you know, back in the good graces of the chapter.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a fall from grace going from being a captain to a lieutenant. So There's a demotion there, so he's...
I think maybe we might be seeing some like Death Watch shenanigans. To be fair,
yeah. I mean, after he's carted away by the Inquisitors and the Black Templars at the end, right? Yeah. You know, he's either gonna be sentenced to an execution or he's gonna do some hard time.
I reckon maybe he was like Death Watched out for a period of time, and then he kind of worked over his thingy, and now he's back. You know. Or he did some kind of stint with the Inquisition, because there's a scene where he's like walking towards the hive spire that's on fire, you know, with the bugs flying around it.
Yeah.
And he's got like an inquisitorial eye on a chain wrapped around his arm.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what I mean? I think that's potentially.
That tells us all we need to know for now. Definitely.
Yeah. I think it's a nice little inclusion as well. Like, it looks like, oh, wow. Like, ooh, what's going on there with that eye? You know, I feel like we're definitely going to have a bit of a inquisitorial shenanigans in this one.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I'm very much looking forward to.
So while we didn't really have much of any extra gameplay for Space Marine 2, what we have had for Dark Tide, we've had quite a lot to kind of sink our teeth into,
man,
recently with...
honestly. Wow. Hot diggity daffodils. Dark Tide is looking mighty, mighty fine. Mighty fine. Honestly,
we don't have long to go either. You think now we're probably about 3 months away from release.
It's September time, right?
Yeah, 13th of September. Mm. So there's not long to wait at all. I am very excited for this.
I've seen some really good stuff. I've seen a few of the mission playthroughs as well. There's some mission gameplay online as well now. And God, fucking hell, man. It looks so clean. It looks so clean. Like, yeah, we've got Vermintide with guns, which is sort of what we wanted, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But it's nice to see Fat Shark have done good work with the shooting mechanics, because a lot of people were kind of concerned that, oh, the shooting was going to be a bit crap, because obviously in Vermintide, right, shooting is a bit of a side thought, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
You've got the guns and the powder guns, I guess, and the flintlocks and whatnot, but it's a bit of a side thing, isn't it? Like, you want to run in there with that big blade, mate, and just fucking chop people up.
Yeah, the ranged weapons were always more of a deterrent for certain special enemies to kind of take them out right at range before they get too close.
Whereas you have obviously that in 40K as well, right? But you have like a lot of actual ranged weaponry, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean with Vermintide, you know, you could put more of an emphasis on melee combat, because I mean it's kind of like medieval times, right? So the variety of ranged weapons that you have from that time are kind of limited by comparison to the 41st millennium, when everything's ranged combat, and then there's melee combat to be had as well.
Melee exists as well, right?
It certainly does. Yeah. But it's like you said, it's really, really good to see that they've taken everything that makes the melee combat great in Vermintide, and then they've actually brought the ranged combat up to the same level.
They've tightened the screws for sure, which is fantastic. We've also had a bit of a tease at the character customization as well, which looks fucking also fantastic.
Yeah, what a brilliant direction to take this in as well. This kind of caught me off guard. I was expecting there just to be like character class archetypes, and then everybody assumes the role like you do in Vermintide, right? But the fact that you've actually got full character customization on an individual basis, as well as being able to focus your experience into traits and stuff to make different builds for different characters, that's insane. There's a lot of replayability value to be
had. Much replayability, right? Like, obviously, Vermintide's characters are customizable, but not to this extent at all. Like, this seems they're really trying to push the customizability, like you said. It's like you have the characters. I imagine armor will be customizable, but the character's body and physiology is completely customizable. Change your haircut, change your skin color, change your gender, change your tattoos. You can have tattoos, face tattoos, body tattoos on your character.
Yeah,
that's wild. I wasn't expecting this level of customization available.
Yeah, and it's like they're encouraging you to like to build to craft your backstory for your character as well as you go. Really, really cool. You know, everybody kind of starts in the same position. You are ex-prisoners sent on a suicide run. What you do with that, you can kind of take it and run with it, which I love. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And the chainsword, using seeing the chainsword light in action, oh, it looks meaty. It looks so meaty.
Yeah, because you've got like your standard kind of swing and slash attacks, but it's those bits when you kind of hold the chainsword in and just like proper dig in. You can see the character's hands juddering as the as it's kind of biting into the target. It's very, very nice.
It's almost like the kind of the Ripper from Fallout. That's what it looks like when it's used, isn't it? You know, when you did the whole like the hold down the button attack.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's that kind of vibe for sure. But yeah, that's fucking ace. Like. I mean, I tell you what, the only thing I don't know about is character classes, obviously, in the game. Classes exist, obviously, we've got Ogryn and whatnot, right? Is that locked, do you reckon, to thingy? Like in
Bermatide? I've heard that it won't be. There's no rigid kind of squad makeup, so it allows for combinations of different.
Yeah.
So, you know. Go in with a squad of Ogryn if you want.
Because I feel like if you open up the floor to, you know, these unique character customizations, I feel like you also have to give that as well, right, to the players.
Yeah.
Because you're going to, you know, say if you've got like an absolute bitchin' ogre, but your friend's got a bitchin' ogre as well, yeah, it's a shame to then not be able to both use that Ogryn, you know?
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversations with our friends about it, and I've had to like... kind of preemptively fight tooth and nail to play as the Ogryn, because I'm so desperate to play as the Ogryn, I can't even express it.
Of course. We'll definitely not take that away from you, my man.
Well, you know, this is it, right? I just, there's going to have to be some kind of like, I don't know, battle to the death or something. Yeah, we'll figure it out as we go along.
I'm quite looking forward to the Psyker, actually. I think the Psyker is going to be quite a cool character.
Yeah, do you know, and that's, again, that's another thing that they can lean into Vermintide on, right? Because of the pyromancer character, right? And the fact that, you know, you use your magic too much, that it comes at with a risk and at a cost, right? So it'll be kind of interesting to see how they play that. Are you just
I think that lends quite well just to like the way psychic powers work in 40k in general anyway, right? Like psychic powers are obviously like incredibly risky to use, aren't they?
I'd like to see some perils of the warp, you know, like if you mishap with your magic or something, you could spawn a chaos demon or something like that.
That'd be cool. That would be kind of interesting. That'd be super cool. But like overall, I think this has potential to be one of the tippy top 40k games we've ever had, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Vermintide was incredible. Fantastic. You're taking a format that already works so well and you're just 40k-ing up, you know, which is fantastic. And not only that, right, it could be very easy for them just to do that, but they are actually, you know, adding all this new stuff in we didn't think was going to happen, like character customization and all that kind of business. You know, it's very easy, and it would have been very easy for them not to do that, right?
Yeah.
To just go on with, oh, yeah, here we go, you know, bang, slap bang, vermin type of guns, right?
What I think I really like about this and the development cycle about this as well, I've seen a lot of people play the game who don't know the first thing about Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah.
And they really thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's like this game is going to be fun regardless of how invested you are in the universe. But if you do know your onions, there's plenty. You're going to have so much fun picking out little nuances and details in the environment and stuff like that, right?
There'd be a nice little bit of for the older fans and for the new fans as well, right?
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's not a case of, you know, you have to do your homework and you have to watch X, Y, and Z video and play this game to understand. Yeah, you can literally just pick a controller up or mouse and keyboard and just play this shit and enjoy it. And maybe it's even your gateway into getting invested in the hobby. You know, this might be the first game, you know, like Space Marine was for me. You know, the Darktide very, very well could be that game that people start to play and they think, wow, I really like this. I want to know more about the universe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the kind of goal they really want, right? They wanted to make it accessible for new fans to the world, but they also want to kind of engage old fans enough as well, right? So they want those old fans to feel like, oh, yeah, you know, this is incredible. And I'm picking up all these little hints. And then for like new fans, it's just a case of, oh, this game looks fucking, you know, metal as fuck, right? Like, real grimdarky, proper over the over the top violence, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm in love with the character dialogue that I've heard so far as well. I'm very, very happy with the dynamic that obviously depending on different combinations of characters, there are different voice lines, and there seems to be a lot of like squad mate banter going on, and
that's
things
really
like
good. That's something obviously that people quite enjoyed with Vermintide, didn't they? So it's good to see them bringing that back.
Yeah, in this one. It makes. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. With Vermintide, they just had the task of, you know, like four or five characters to, you know, to create this person. Now you've got this kind of like fluid character customization going on as well. It's going to be so interesting to see how many voice lines must they have recorded in order to make every character feel individual. That must have just taken...
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah, it's like, are we going to get to the level we had in Vermintide, right? Because obviously in Vermintide, it's very controlled, isn't it? Because you don't have the that level of customization, do you? So
no, it's just like a few cosmetics, really. That's it, yeah, isn't
so,
it?
And the characters all have their own names and everything like that, so they can banter with each other and it works, doesn't it? Because they can call each other by names and whatnot. So like in this game, how is that going to work? How is your characters going to interact, right? Have they just recorded a fuck ton of voice lines? Are the voice lines in general just a little bit more generic, you know? We wait to see.
Yeah, and that's it. We can only kind of pry a certain amount of information out of the gameplay that we've seen so far, right? But from what I've heard, it does sound really, really good. I've seen some of the characters being called by their name.
Oh, that's good.
So I don't know whether there might be like presets, you know, a little bit like in Fallout 4 when you had like names that Codsworth could call you as a player.
Potentially,
character.
Yeah. That would be a way around it.
It might be a little bit like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's many main names, right? You can call Nogrin.
Yeah, just like Thud or yeah. Clob or
Clob.
Like Clob.
Yeah. So moving to something a little bit more stranger. Still Warhammer related though.
Yeah.
Bolt Gun.
Ah, see, now I'm really looking forward to
what
this.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a real fun little title to pick up. Yeah. Now, Bolt Gun, very, very reminiscent of the OG Doom games, right? Instantly, you know, as soon as you start to see some of the like in-engine gameplay, I'm like, this is OG Doom straight away.
It is proper, isn't it? It literally is just Doom, old Doom.
Yeah, I mean, I like the feel of it. We don't really know an awful lot about it at the moment. But one thing I did pick up from the trailer, which I thought was fantastic, is that the character sprites, they actually look like pictures of the models,
yeah,
the actual real life models, and then they've been moved into different poses when they like turn to the side or something like that.
Yeah, that's just like it was like back in the day, right? With games like Mortal Kombat and stuff like that.
Yeah,
where they actually had like JPEGs of people. And they would move those, you know?
Yeah, almost like a form of stop motion.
Yeah.
It looks really charming. And I'm keen to see what they're going to do with that.
It does it nice. And also the trailer is quite good. Like, you know, the start of the trailer where it's like real life.
Yeah, and he's like rooting through the box of goodies and stuff. And there's like an old box of Chaos Space Marines in there. And
old edition box of Chaos Space Marines. He brings up some Ultramarines that aren't painted very well, you know? That's really cool, right? Is that oldish or a white dwarf in the box as well?
And the game itself, Bolt Gun, is on a floppy disk.
Is it a floppy disk? Yeah.
We need to unpack that. Like,
it seems like a very, you know, like a love letter to Doom and Quake and the games of that era, right?
Definitely.
But 40K edition, which I mean, I think it's going to look great. I think it looks awesome.
It'll be a fun little game. I don't expect to have too much out of it. You know, I'm not expecting a full-on AAA storyline from it, but it's going to be a good little bit of fun, and it'll have what you want from it. You know, good little bit of fun, probably a couple of hours of gameplay. I'd be happy with that.
I mean, also just it's unexpected, right? You know what I mean? It's like completely unexpected. I don't know. One really saw that one coming, did they? It was just this little cutesy announcement that was just kind of thrown in. But very charming. I think it was very, very charming.
Yeah, me too. So we know that it's coming out sometime in 2023. So we'll be keeping our eyes open for that. But
most definitely.
Yeah. There's not really much else to say about it at the moment. We don't know too much about it. It's just very, very fun looking. I would say there's another one that I can kind of segue into a little bit here. We've actually got a demo for this now.
Yes.
It's Shooters Blood and Teeth. Or is it Blood Shooters and Teeth? It's the orc game from the creators of Gunscore and Cannoli. Now I've played the demo of this already and it's fantastic. It's absolutely what you'd want from an orc game.
Yeah.
This one comes out on the 20th of October this year. So
a little bit further away.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, hot off the heels of Darktide. I'm hoping this one won't be kind of overshadowed by Darktide.
No. I mean, Darktide is
a different types of games, right?
Yeah, they're very different types of games.
But I'm hoping that I'm not going to be too busy playing Darktide, is what I mean, to enjoy this when it comes out.
We are definitely going to be hitting up some long Darktide sessions when that comes out.
100%. Yeah, that's going to happen.
It's going to be tasty, dude.
So Shooters Blood and Teeth, really over the top. Again, follows the gameplay very closely from Guns, Gore and Cannoli 2 specifically, because you have the kind of directional shooting ability that kind of follows the mouse rather than the horizontal side-to-side shooting like it was in the first game. One of my most kind of notable parts about it is the orc band playing in the background when you're fighting the boss knob as the boss of that level. Mm-hmm. The band is actually called the Six Shooters. and the song, it's actually an original song as well.
Oh, really?
You can find it on YouTube. It's actually kind of good as well. So
nice,
I would encourage you, if you're interested, if you like your metal and you'd like it to be a bit satirical with a bit of orky flavor in there, I'd highly recommend that you look that up on YouTube.
Oh man, that's super good. I like that attention to detail, to be fair. That's nice, and that's really cute. I like that.
Yeah, it's just been a really good year, I think, so far for Warhammer in terms of games released.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much good coming for it, right?
Yeah. You think because recently that you had that Chaos Gate Demon Hunters that came out as well.
Yeah, that did indeed.
Which was kind of cool. Andy Serkis voices one of the characters in it, which is really cool as
Very cool. Yeah.
Seen a little bit of gameplay. I haven't played it myself, but does look very, very interesting.
I actually think it's like you said, it's been a good time. I actually think it's nice to see a return to like Warhammer games that aren't typical Warhammer games, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think Dawn of War kind of ruled the roost for a very long time, right? Kind of fell off the wagon a little bit with 3, and then we had a bit of a lull. I think kind of probably from Mechanicus onwards, I think we've really started to pick up the pace with Warhammer games.
100%, man. It's very clear, right, that Warhammer is, because of the game it is, right, it comes from a tabletop strategy game, right? It naturally gravitates towards strategy games, doesn't it? And I think strategy games naturally work a little bit, not necessarily better, but it fits the world, doesn't it? Like, it fits the world.
Yeah. But what we've seen here is the fact that it can transcend genres.
Yeah, it can. It can completely. Like, you know, and I think that's what games like Darktide and the return of Space Marine, Space Marine 2, right? It's the return of Warhammer games that aren't just strategy games, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, and I'm gonna kind of steal one of your phrases that you coined, right? But we're definitely entering a golden age here,
of Warhammer games.
Yes, yeah. Ooh. Which I didn't think I'd see, to be honest. Right, I thought we were destined to see it palmed off to kind of like unheard of companies. You know,
I mean, it's been, you know, a long time running, right? And there's very few actually decent Warhammer games out there, right? There's many 40k games on Steam that are not good.
Yeah, you know, and it's a case of the leopard has changed its spots, right?
I'm pleased by this development.
Yeah, definitely, mate, definitely. have you got anything else Warhammer related to discuss?
Not necessarily, although I will give a shout out to Blood Bowl 3, which is coming out as well. I played the beta for Blood Bowl 3 like a week ago now. It was on an open beta for the Skull Throne event, and that was super fun. Super
How
fun.
How was it? Yeah, did you enjoy it, right?
Yeah, I really did. I've enjoyed the first two Blood Bowl games, actually. Both have been really good. For anyone who doesn't know, Blood Bowl is a even more satirical take on the old Warhammer fantasy world, in that there is no kind of wars between the factions, and instead rivalries and that are fought through a football game, American football game called Blood Bowl. But as you can expect, it's not, you know, like your normal rules, right? The ball is spiky, fighting is totally allowed, and death is just par of the course, basically.
Yeah, I've always sat on the fringes of Blood Bowl, not really ever invested any time into it, but it did look, the few bits and pieces that I have seen, it does look quite funny, to be fair.
It is an incredibly fun game. The series has been really good. Number 2 was a little bit hit and miss in the story department, but the actual games itself were still good quality. I think number 3 is going to be a real return to form, which is really good, like a good mix of 1 and 2. And also like just a mad amount of teams as well. Like, there's so many different teams you can play as, it's unbelievable. And a lot of the races and teams sort of come from the fantasy, Warhammer fantasy world. So if you understand Warhammer fantasy, you already know like a lot of the teams there could be Yeah, it's very good. It's a very interesting game. It's, you know, ironically, one of the few sports games I think I like.
I have one very important question, though. Is there a football manager mode?
I mean, it is, in a way, sort of like you are sort of a team manager, like technically, and you kind of make your team, basically, but you play as a team as well, if that makes sense. But you're the coach of the team, so you are responsible for like the team's finances, buying extra stuff for the team, buying players and whatnot as well.
Morale and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so it is sort of. And in the other games, you could actually sim games as well. So technically, if you just sim games, it would be like a pure management game.
Oh, I see.
But you can play them as well. It's very fun. It's a very, very fun game. It's a very, very fun series, really, because all of them have been quite good.
Yeah.
But a little bit different.
Yeah, so moving swiftly on then from all Warhammer related goodies.
The Warhammer block has ended finally.
Yeah, okay. So anybody not interested in Warhammer, you probably skip to this point now.
30 minutes in.
Stamp in there or something.
We're moving on.
And now we can move on to our obligatory Capcom section.
Hey! Of course.
All right, so the Capcom showcase for 2022 was quite interesting, actually.
I was pleasantly surprised, actually. I actually went into it not really expecting too much, but I was pleasantly surprised of what they showed off.
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple of bits and pieces that I think we already kind of knew was coming. And then we had kind of a few little surprises kind of dug in there as well. Kind of the biggest thing that I kind of pride from it straight away was the Winters expansion for the I'm not going to go into the RE4 remake yet. We're going to save that for a little bit.
Hold,
because obviously that's the biggest part, right?
But it is the big announcement.
But so we had the Winters expansion for Village, which is obviously Resident Evil 8. Included within is downloadable content, Shadows of Rose, which is a brand new story where you play as Ethan's daughter. So this is looking kind of interesting. The setting looks like it's within a mansion, very similar to the Spencer mansions of the old games.
Yeah,
which I thought was kind of a nice nod to the kind of the old style of the older games.
Yeah,
The Duke looks like he's being portrayed as an antagonist in this as well, which thought was kind of interesting. I would want to get your thoughts on that, because I know you love the Duke.
The Duke was great. I mean, this is quite funny talking about Village again, actually, right? Because Village was the first episode we did of the podcast way back in the day, wasn't it?
Full circle now,
we have come full circle. Yeah, you know, we're talking about Village again, and I'm pretty sure we said in that one, you know, we would talk about it again if, you know, the right opportunity came and DLC came out, and lo and behold, here we are, right? DLC has been announced for Village. Yeah, it looks interesting. I'll be honest, I was never a huge fan of Rose's character, like after the credit scene in Village. I don't know. I didn't really think it was that needed, to be honest.
No, but you know, now we can see that there's a downloadable content coming off the back of it. See what the long-term goal is now in 100%, hindsight,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, it does work, because originally in Village, I don't know, it was a bit weird. Like, Village's ending was a bit bittersweet anyway, and then you've got this, you know, random girl who's Rose, and she's grown up, and now she's, you know, a fucking secret agent or some shit, or she's being followed by secret agents, I don't fucking know, or like in the care of secret agents or some shit like that.
By the looks of it, my kind of impression from what I've surmised from the end of the game and the trailer that we've seen here for the downloadable content, that she's really struggling with her powers, her identity. There's a little bit of duality in there as well. I don't know if you noticed. Did you watch the trailer for it?
I did see the trailer. Yeah.
So I mean, you saw that bit when she's speaking to that other girl, and she's like, "You look just like me." There's that kind of doppelganger situation.
Yes,
going on.
Yes,
there.
I do.
So I think we're going to have quite a psychological kind of thrill ride here with this one. This one's going to be very much kind of like, perhaps it could be all set within Rose's mind, and this is her kind of like her coming to terms and struggling with her powers.
It could be that could be a way to explain the madness that is the Duke's involvement in it as well. Or at least a character who looks suspiciously like the Duke, you know?
I guess same voice actor actually, as well. He's got this kind of weird kind of cracked mask, you know, like a masquerade ball almost.
Because there's some madness with like blood as well. That is like a blood tsunami following her, like in the mansion and stuff like that.
And monsters being kind of born out of like the gore from the floor and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really, really kind of weird. There was a little bit, especially with that doppelganger situation, kind of reminded me a little bit of there was a downloadable content for Resident Evil Revelations 2, and I think it was like Little Miss or something like that. But there's a character called Natalia in Revelations 2, and she has that duality thing as well. So you play that downloadable content, you're playing as her, but there's also like a dark version of her following her around, like a devil on the shoulder kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kind of struck me a little bit like that. I was getting vibes from that quite a lot. Only other thing I brought away from that was it's purely in third person as well.
Well, this is the big thing I wanted to bring up, actually, because I think this is kind of massive, because not only is this DLC being entirely in third person, this is coming with an update to the base game, which allows the base game to be played 100% in third person as well.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a smart move. I think having the ability to choose, because not everybody likes playing the game in first person. You know, I think me personally, I prefer third person games. So it's nice to. I mean, there are plenty of mods out there that have done exactly that, but it's nice to have like an official support for it, right?
I'll be honest though, I don't think I saw this one coming. I thought they would very much, you know, 100% stick to the first person move.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely did seem to be the kind of the shtick, especially for the kind of the Ethan saga, right? You saw that from a first-person perspective, especially because they went to so much effort to hide the character's face as well.
Exactly.
Which was kind of a bugbear for us anyway, right?
I'm not going to lie, to be funny, I will admit they did make me laugh, because during the trailer, they also always cut before they showed his face.
Yes, yeah.
So
yeah.
I will say that. That's quite good. It's quite clever. I give him points for keeping the meme going, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, and I think what would be increasingly funny with that as well is if they, you know, like in certain animes, you know, when like they have that effect where a character's kind of like face, it's like shadowed on along the top, like when they're like to kind of symbolize that they've got kind of like shady intent.
You can't
see their eyes, and it's just like shadow and then like lines.
It would
have been kind of cool if they'd have done that with it, so you still can't see his face, and the top part of his face is like shadowed out. That would have been quite funny.
It was a nice move for sure, because to be honest, I'm quite interested in this third person shift, like to the point where I'm tempted to maybe play through the game again with the third person mode on, to see how it is, you know.
That's it. So I mean, you've already got a copy of the game, so you would just be able to buy the Winter's expansion.
Exactly.
But for anybody who doesn't own the game, there is a gold edition coming out, which will feature all of the downloadable content involved within. So yeah, like that's really cool. That it's kind of like it will give you a kind of a new lease on the game. Seeing it from a different perspective makes all the difference.
I think it's interesting. I don't know how like the Benevita house is going to feel, to be fair, in the new one, in the third person mode. I feel like it won't be as scary personally.
Because
I don't know, like something about that section was fucking horrifying, right? Because of the third person mode.
I mean that might still be in first person.
If they transitioned to like locked it in first person for that section, feel like it would lose the kind of the scariness, really. Wouldn't lose it completely, but it would certainly, I think, numb the experience a little bit.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the most well-received game, but there were segments in, say, like Resident Evil 6, for instance. There were a couple of moments, especially within Leon's campaign, because that one was kind of the more horror-themed one.
Horror-esque one.
Yeah, there were segments in that were actually played out in first person. It kind of locked your perspective to it, so it gave you that little bit more of immersion for the scary segment. So it has been done before, so I wouldn't put it past Capcom having those segments where you are locked into first person for the purpose of the storytelling and for the scare factor. So it would be very, nice very well could be a thing.
I tell you what, though, they also showed off just one more bit on Resident Evil Village. The PSVR 2 as well is getting Village support, which is nice to see.
That is good. This was something that we said in our very first episode, wasn't it? That we were surprised about the lack of VR support.
Exactly. Yeah.
And did it in 7 as well.
And ironically, we're having the same kind of partnership again. So Capcom are partnering with Sony to use it with the PSVR 2 when that comes out. You know, it's quite fitting because with 7 obviously did really well for the first PlayStation VR. And now we've got 8 with the next iteration of that VR.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they've waited this long, right? Especially because it was a release feature for 7.
Yeah.
it did. Yeah, it kind of seemed that like this is quite a latecomer to the party. Really, you'd have expected. Obviously, we don't know what the development cycle was like for this. Maybe this was something that we definitely wanted to do, but yeah. If it was going to impact on the experience of the game, that it had to come as a secondary, right? Which I imagine that's probably what happened.
Mm. I mean, I guess it's more of a Sony thing, really. Like whenever the PS2 VR. Was done, the PSVR 2, because I don't know if this is going to be playable with the original one. I think this is going to be maybe only like a VR 2 game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think it's going to require VR 2 rather than VR 1. I'm not too sure, to be honest, but I imagine that's more of it rather than them obviously doing it, right? Because they have the knowledge from doing it before. I think it's more of a case of whenever Sony are ready to deploy, you know, with a VR product exactly rather than them having to wait to do it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we're quite aware of that. That the games industry is a it's made up of lots of different parts, right? And if one area isn't ready, then the rest, you know, kind of has to go on without it. And we hope everything else can catch up, right?
Exactly. So I will say though, hot damn, the Benevento House in VR is going to be horrifying.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
No.
Wear brown pants or sit on a commode.
Oh, mate, honestly, I would feel the fear. I would feel the fucking fear playing that in VR, because damn, it fucking scared me before, you know?
That big baby fetus coming at you.
Ooh, the slimy and the crying and the wailing. Oh, man, honestly, that's going to be a fucking scary part to play for sure. Like,
yeah.
It's going to blend so well to VR, like, literally.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, that segment was made for VR.
It's going to lend so perfectly. So perfectly.
It's going to be very, very cool. I think there's only one other thing village-related that we got from this, and it's an expansion on the Mercenaries mode, which I thought was a cool little thing.
I'm okay with this, actually, because I actually quite enjoyed the Mercenaries mode when I played it. It was quite fun.
Well, I mean, you know, even better is the fact that it's the characters that are being added to it.
Yes,
obviously, we got Chris Redfield, which is kind of cool. It looks like he's got some kind of like artillery strike ability.
The man in black.
Yeah. We've also got Lady D and Heisenberg as well, which I think is really interesting.
We got Vampire Mummy and Magneto, Hobo Magneto.
Yeah, and like, you know, I think one of her abilities is just like she can just throw a throne chair at people. Where did she get that from? No, in fact, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
She just wheels it around with her, to be honest. It's like bougie, isn't it? Wheels a cabinet of expensive furniture around to throw at people.
You know, it's like they haven't even shrunk her down to the player perspective. You're actually playing as 8 foot Lady D as well, which is it's fantastic. Like,
it's like a very cool addition, actually. I think playing that mode as well in third person is going to be quite fun also. I think that's going to be a real hark back right to old Resi, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the gameplay is fantastic for Mercenaries. I really enjoyed it. It was a very arcadey.
I don't know if the third person mode actually extends out to Mercenaries, you know.
I thought it did. I thought some of them were in.
I know the campaign for sure was in third person.
Yeah.
But I can't. I can't say for certain whether the Mercenaries was included within that.
Watch your space.
So yeah, we'll have to find that out. But yeah, it looks very interesting. It's nice to see that they've got some new content on the way for it. You know, it keeps the game relevant because it's been a little while now since its release. You know,
it's been a year and a bit. I think almost like a year. Yeah, it's been a year and then some. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. And and don't forget, guys, that you get a copy of Reverse as well. That's included within the price of the game.
I've got that ready to go. I mean, I won't lie to you. I am going to try it out just because I've got it. But, I mean, am I going to like it? Probably not. I'm not going to lie to you. But
well, you know, they've had a lot more time to work on it. So, you know, it could be a very different game from the one that we played back in the day, right? When they were doing the little multiplayer beta. So could be a very different game. Could actually be really fun now.
You're not wrong. Like, you're not wrong. It might be something quite good. I mean, I'm going to try it out for sure. And that's mostly because I own it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I already got it on the Steam library ready to try out. But, you know, could be all right. I mean, I'm going to rock up as Nemesis. Just slap some people. Could be fun.
And all of that will be released on the 28th of October, provided that there are no further delays. It's just kind of crazy considering that they announced the DLC last June, so they announced it about a year ago.
A year to then, right, to when they did this announcement, to last announcement.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you know, it's it, it kind of they've had to put some stuff on the back burner. You know, they just had to, it's back in the oven, but that's okay. That's absolutely fine. I'm always like pro wait. I'd rather a studio take their time and produce something memorable than kind of rush it out and regret it. Yeah.
Old Miyamoto quote, mate, with a rush game is bad forever.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Like you can't say it any better than that. From the horse's mouth.
Exactly what it is. a rushed game is just always going to be bad.
Just terrible. Yeah. So, yeah. One other little thing then before we jump into the big fish, the Capcom showcase.
The large fish.
We have HD overhauls coming for RE7, RE2 remake, and RE3 remake as well.
We're talking HD by HD, right? Because HD, these are already HD. Looking good.
Yeah. So
these already look fantastic.
The new features include support for 4K, higher frame rates and ray tracing, and 3D audio as well, which is really cool.
Stereo.
Free digital upgrades are offered for all of those who already own it on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, etc. PC gets a free update patch for that as well.
Come on.
So it's kind of bringing those games into the next gen, which I think that's really cool.
I don't really think 2 or 3 particularly need it too much. 7 will be a nice little push.
Yeah, I mean, 7 is the oldest out of those three, right? So,
but even 7 looks good. Like, I can't lie. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? none of them look bad at all. None of the games look bad in the slightest.
I mean, we owe all of that to the RE engine, though, right?
Oh, the RE engine is pulling its weight big time.
It's next level, isn't it? Yeah. The RE engine. We've fangirled over that many times.
It's proof in the pudding, right? The game looks fantastic. The oldest entry in the series, Resi 7, the first one on the RE engine, it still looks good. It still looks good. And the fact that this is free is nice as well. I think it's a nice little upgrade. No one really asked for it, to be honest, but it's nice it's being added.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like I said, we'd never scoff at free stuff, right?
No.
And, there's those games are they're not going to have anything else added to them, so a little graphics overhaul, it's nice. It's just nice,
keeps it more fresh. Will,
even if people just boot it up just to see what the graphics overhaul looks like, it's still keeping those games fresh in our minds. And it's you imagine the amount of people that's going to prompt to go, oh man, I haven't played that for ages. I'll give that a go now it's had an upgrade.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's nice. It's like you said, it's a nice little unexpected treat for us, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. But what about then, man? What about the elephant in the room here?
Yeah, so RE4 remake. We finally had our announcement trailer, which is that's quite exciting, because I mean, we've had just months and months and months of speculation and concern. Some people are like they've cancelled it, it's not happening. You're wrong. Our announcement is that they're aiming to have it released for the 24th of March next year. It's looking really spicy, like we've just said, literally, about the Resident Evil engine. Like, it's just on another level. This game looks phenomenal.
Two and three, both also looked incredible, right? Cutting edge. Survival, proper survival horror. This looked awesome. Like, the games, the atmosphere in the games was fantastic across both games. Running through the streets of Raccoon City with the lights, nighttime, the way it bounced off the water on the ground, everything just looked fantastic in those games, right? So I'm very glad that 4 is getting the same lick of paint.
Yeah, definitely. Resident Evil 4 as well, it's a very different setting to 2 and 3, like you've mentioned, right? It's in that rural setting. They are going to be able to take everything that they learned from Village.
Oh, yes.
They're going to be able to apply it to this one.
Yeah.
I'm all for it, mate. I am. RE4 is one of the top Resident Evil games. You ask most people that have played anything from Resident Evil, 4 is up there. That's the one. It spanned probably the most consoles. I think it actually is on more consoles than Skyrim.
I'm pretty sure we discussed this a while ago. Like, it is.
Yeah, we did.
Like, a lot of people give Skyrim the push. Like, oh, I can't believe Skyrim's on everything. Oh, Bethesda releasing Skyrim on every platform. But honestly, I can count way more instances of Resi 4 being ported to platforms.
Definitely. It's just sat there in the background like, hee-hee.
It doesn't know. No one's picked up on it, right? Because it's not as well known necessarily as Skyrim is, right?
Just don't make a big song and dance about it. They're just like, here's a good game, enjoy.
But Capcom have slapped that game out on about 5 to 6 different platforms now.
Yeah, across it's a money generations. Maker, isn't it, for them?
I mean, that's proof, right? What you said, it is one of the most loved Resident Evils out there.
That's it. Yeah, like everybody has their own kind of like top three, but I'm pretty sure within pretty much everybody's top three, Resident Evil 4 is up there. It's just one of those games that it revolutionized the way that we play Resident Evil games. It was something different. Yeah, it was one of those instances where it did something different and it works. And that's it was a massive success because of that.
Now, the thing is, people, you know, and I know you're gonna be like this as well, right? You are definitely gonna be looking at this game with an eagle eye, aren't you, man? Because Resi 4 is quite big for you, isn't it? You know, like you said, it's such a big game for other Resi fans. But for you, my man, I mean, I don't know anyone in my life that has played Resi 4 as much as you have. Yeah. You know, to the level that you have played that game, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we're talking levels.
Yeah, I mean, you know, playing that game became a yearly occurrence for me. Like, I would revisit at least once every year.
You know it like the back of your hand, right?
It's easy to pick up and play for me because I don't have to. It's one of those games that I don't have to really think about playing just because I've played it that much.
Yes,
just one that I can go back to. It's what I would refer to as a comfort game. When I can't decide what else to play, I can always fall back on Resi 4.
Yeah.
So seeing that with a new lick of paint, and you know, they you can tell that they're very keen to keep it in line with the original, but they are definitely looking to redesign elements very much like they did in RE2 and RE3 remake.
Mm, mm.
And I think that's good. You know, there are definitely elements of the original Resident Evil 4 that I think could definitely be improved on. Like, we were having a conversation about it the other day, weren't we? And I was like, I'd actually like them to take the QTEs out of the QuickTime events.
Yeah, because
I just felt like all that did is added frustration to the game. It didn't add scare factor, or it didn't really add anything to it other than, I'm running away from a boulder, I've got to mash A.
Yeah.
It just, you know, it just felt unnecessary. And there were just so many QTEs as well. Mm. Like, if you're going to have them, have a few, but just don't litter the game with them like they did with the original. Cause it just,
of course,
it got in the sillies.
The sillies.
it did. But kind of enough speculation from me. Really, what we want to do is we want to break down what we've seen from the trailer. And then we'll talk about our kind of anticipation and what we expect from that off the back of it. So I'll let you kind of jump in with it because I kind of take over when Resident Evil's involved.
No, that's fine. I mean, you know way more about 4 than I do. I've played only 4 a few times, to be fair. So it's not a well-known game for me by any stretch of imagination. I have just sent you a rather important piece of information about the game. And that's Capcom showing off the jacket that Leon's wearing in the game. That has been scanned. The real life jacket that it's based on has been scanned into the game, basically. So 3D scanned, photogrammetried into the game. So it is like pixel perfect, basically, to the real world equivalent.
And you know, all of that effort to go into that jacket just for us to lose it in the first level.
Everyone is saying, like, is there going to be a way to keep it on longer?
Can we keep the jacket, please? It was a crying shame.
It's going to be a costume, surely, right? Jacket on Leon for the rest of the game, right? Costume choice.
Yeah. To be fair, they did that with the Resident Evil 2 remake, didn't they? Where like different costumes, different stages.
I reckon they do that. Also, if you're curious, you can buy the jacket for like $1,400.
I actually have a jacket that is insanely close to it that I bought from TK Maxx a little while ago.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
You've seen it, yeah. It's a good one. Threadbare, I think the name of the brand is, or whatever.
This one is like Schultz NYC, apparently. It's like an American coat company.
It's pretty spot on. And I've also got a cosplayer's version of that jacket as well.
Oh, very nice.
I bought from like Amazon back in the day.
It's quite spot. I mean, the jacket looks really good, but yeah, it's fucking expensive though.
I love that style of jacket though. It's cool. It's like the old style bomber jacket.
It certainly isn't a summer jacket. Let me tell you that.
No, I would be sweating my tits off if I wore that out.
It's definitely a winter attire, but incredibly funny to see that they've like taken the real one, you know, scanned it from every angle and bam, whammed it in. A lot of detail, like you said, to go into just losing a jacket so soon, right?
Yeah, brilliant though. Brilliant that they've put that level of detail into it, because it's, you know, that's the thing. Regardless of how short the time that jacket spends in the game, it's a feature that everybody talks about.
It's iconic as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's an iconic look for Leon. It's the iconic look for Leon, in my opinion. The trailer though was really good. We're getting glimpses of all the characters that are going to be involved. Mm-hmm. We have seen Leon, obviously the main character. We've seen Ashley, who's the president's daughter, will be trying to save in the game. Hopefully she'll be a little bit less annoying this time.
The atmosphere just looks spot on in this trailer, right? When she's running through the forest.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You've got the water, the trees, the branches. I think that's something I like actually a lot in this. And it's not even the game. I love the logo. The logo looks ace. You know what I mean? Like, they've carried on the theme they've had with the other Resi games, the remakes especially, by having them, the text, sort of have, like, hints to the game in it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, and reflects the environment that you're within, right?
Yeah, and they've kept this really fucking nice, like, color palette. So the R and the E, obviously, is red, and the rest is white. Two had it really well, because two, it was sort of like segmented, that wasn't it, into like city blocks almost, right?
That's right, yes.
Whereas number three actually wasn't really too, it was just kind of like cracked, kind of like cracked in fancy.
One's really good, like you said, though, because it's got that kind of, it's almost like veins creeping in from the corners, right?
It also looks a little bit like the tree branches, doesn't
it? Which is
obviously such a big part of the start of the game, right? So I feel like that's really nice to have that, you know, that element, that villagey, creepy tree hag witch kind of vibe, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you've actually ever seen any of the cover art for the original Resident Evil, I don't think, not so much on the American cover, but on the UK
the red
cover,
one, right? Yeah.
Yes, that's it. It's like a photo negative of like red and black of the forest.
I think it's an iconic shot, really. It's an iconic bit of cover art, isn't it? Like the Resident Evil,
and you've got the silhouette of the chainsaw guy in the forest. Yeah, very, very, very iconic.
Is the American one just got Leon on the front?
Yeah, yeah. You've got like just like some Gnardos behind him.
That's so shit compared to the before, like the English one.
Man, we've said this many times though, right? Like UK cover art just tends to be better in general. You know, that's not, it may be maybe a little bit of bias on our behalf, right?
But you're not wrong though, right? I feel like that cover art just looks so much better, because in actual fact, yeah, that cover art looks actually way more creepy, because it's like red and black, like you said, like a negative. There's some birds flying. There's a very weird figure with a chainsaw bag on his head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the distance. It's unsettling to look at the cover art, isn't it?
It is. And what's most unsettling about it, I think, is it's just, it's Spartan appearance, because you've just got this, it's two-tone, red and black. Red is obviously, you know, in horror, that red means danger anyway, right?
Of course,
It doesn't invoke feelings of safety. It feels...
You feel unsettled when you look at it.
And unsettling to look... Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's very liminal, very creepypasta-esque. That's definitely the best cover art for the game, for sure. Yeah, the American one, dog shit. That's what you're saying.
It is. It's crap. And it's kind of nice to see that they're kind of leaning in with their roots a little bit. Literally roots here.
Roots. I would actually love to see a take on that case, but done modern, you know, for the new one.
Oh, yes, me too.
That'd be nice. But I love the clean text, I can't lie. Like, 4 obviously also had that really weird 4, didn't it, on the cover? Where it was like, 4. Yeah. It was like, it's 4 that was like fucking... It looked like it was out of Devil May Cry 4.
Yeah, the 4 I think was supposed to kind of resemble the Los Illuminados, which is the cult that they.
It does well, but I love the clean text that we've got. Yes. I love the clean text. It just looks more appealing, you know. Like I actually would love like a version of that Resident Evil 4 cover art with the 4 gone away and just Resident Evil on it.
Yeah,
I think that, because I think the Resident Evil text on the original one also holds up quite well.
I think that would work. Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, from what we've seen so far, we've obviously very limited, but it's very, very cool to see that they've already wet our whistle. Anybody that knows, right? You've got little speaking segments from Lewis as well. Obviously, who's one of the cool characters from Resident Evil 4, and Osman Sadler, who's the leader of the Los Illuminados.
I also quite like the fact they touched on a section where they literally say, you might notice that Leon is much more mature and fearless due to his past experiences.
Yeah.
He just looks very sad.
He does.
Like, a lot of the people on Twitter are making memes about his face in like Resi 2 compared to his face in his trailer. He just looks very sad.
He does, yeah. I mean, you know, All I would say is, you go and survive the Raccoon City outbreak, and then come back to me. And if you can find your smile, then fair enough.
He does get a cushy job there, working for the president, right?
Yeah, well, cushy, maybe not so much. You know, getting thrown.
He's on payroll. Yeah. He's on payroll though.
He's on payroll, but
he's all right, you know, for a man that, you know, walked onto his first day as a police officer and properly exited stage left, mate.
Yeah, to be fair. that was out of his control. It's not like he was fired or anything, was it?
Not particularly, literally, no. The world ended.
The city that was part of his constabulary is now no longer, it doesn't exist.
His
constabulary.
Oh my God.
That's what we need now. We need a UK version.
A Resident Evil.
Where you play as Constable Leon Kennedy.
To be fair, that'd be funny. That'd be really, and to be honest, Capcom have done that before, yeah. I know this is a bit of a tangent, but the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney games. Yeah. Like American-esque Japanese law system. They did a new game recently, which is set in the English system with English characters. Fantastic. But it was obviously Japanese and American before. So they've done it before, right? They could do it as an evil.
Does the judge have like the powder wig on as well?
No, they made it very weird. It's like, sort of like anime. There's anime-ified as well, right? So it's a little bit crazier. But just to round off the Resi section before we go overboard with Resident Evil content, I guess the biggest thing that this game is going to have to do, right, is to wash the taste out of fans' mouth from Resident Evil 3. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Because while 3 was good, and I enjoyed my time at 3 quite a lot, right, obviously a lot of the harder core fans were not pleased particularly with 3 and the way 3 handled the game. Yeah,
we definitely needed more from that game.
And I feel like Capcom have known. I won't lie. I feel like they have taken that to note, right, because Lord, like... you know, the level that 4 is, like, you know, and the amount, like you said at the start, right, how much 4 means to a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they cannot come half cocked with 4. You know,
no.
They have to come both barrels straight ahead. You know, they can't be coming half cocked, right? Because 4 means so much to so much of the fan base. Yeah. It has to be the remake, you know, it has to be level Resi 2 remake, right?
Yeah.
Level quality. It can't be skipping sections.
There will be many that will expect this to exceed Resident Evil 2 Remake, which I think is a tall order because that game was very, very good.
That game was fire. Yeah, Resident Evil 2 Remake was fire. And probably my favorite Resident Evil game so far, to be honest. Because it was just it was just great. It was just, it played so well. It was super fun to play. You know, it was a fantastic experience.
And the best balance as well, I think, in terms of gameplay.
And so it was insanely faithful as well,
newcomers.
Right?
Yeah, insanely faithful story-wise, but also the gameplay was kind to newcomers.
It's what we say about having that thing for everyone, right? You know, like we said with Darktide and with Resident Evil, you know, old fans could appreciate Resi 2 because it harked back to the original game so well and so faithful. New fans enjoyed it because it was a very easy-to-handle survival horror game to get into, right? Like, you can play 2 with zero knowledge of any other Resident Evil game and have a great time.
Yeah, you can.
Literally, you wouldn't have to play any others, and I feel like you'd still be like, this is good.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, like, even if you don't know what happened in the mansion incident, right? All of the lore is there to be found anyway, right? So yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's great. I love that when I don't have to do homework to play a game. It's great.
Mm-hmm. So a transition, I think, maybe to our final topic of this episode. Because we're gonna do another part for sure, because there's so much more shit we want to talk about,
100%,
that we just cannot fit into one reasonable size episode. And that is a very curious game that I've been following for a while now, and that is the Callisto Protocol.
Yeah,
this game is I'm impressed. This is sort of like the Dead Space that we've been waiting for, right? After 3 died.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, mate, I after watching the trailer, it's Dead Space in everything except name.
Yeah, it is 100%, you know, and that's fine because the dev team, the original dev team, you know, a lot of the members of the original Visceral team are working on this game now. So the DNA is there, you know.
It tells, doesn't it? It definitely tells.
They are perfectly within their right to use those kind of themes because they were the ones that made them, you know. They were the progenitors of this genre of game.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it's fantastic to see.
I picked apart so much from that trailer that I watched and the little bit of gameplay that I saw.
Yeah.
You know, kind of similarities with Dead Space, the third person over the shoulder angle, very similar. It's picture for picture.
The lack of HUD as well. There's no HUD UI. Yeah. It's all on his back again.
The way the rig character system moves. Yeah. The rig system on the neck. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a kinesis ability as well.
There's big themes of kind of psychosis and kind of losing your mind in this as well, just like Dead Space's story. And to be frank, I am still very excited for the Dead Space remake. I'm super excited for this. That's not changed my opinion at all.
Same,
but
same.
I am very pleased with what I'm seeing here.
This is good, though. This what this has presented is healthy competition for that Dead Space remake.
All I'm saying is, the horror fans, us horror fans, eating good.
Oh, yeah.
We're eating fucking good. You know what I mean? Like, there is a lot of fucking fantastic horror games coming out. And not only that, sci-fi horror games as well. And like you said, Zach, this trailer is just, oh, man, it's gritty, it's raw, it's dirty, it's, it looks great. The lighting looks fantastic. I'm really impressed with what I saw. The
environment looks superb. Mm. Like those kind of like dark, murky environments offset with like the harsh industrial lighting.
Yeah.
The orange like warning lights and stuff like that. Like there was all stuff that was used in the original Dead Space.
It's a fantastic effect as well, right?
Oh, it's brilliant. It's so good. Yeah. You know, because the shadows that it kept, the moving shadows that that casts.
Oh, man.
Just brilliant.
It looks fantastic. The enemies look weird as well. They've got a bit of necromorph to them, to be fair. I feel like they look a little
they're
bit
different enough, aren't they, but, for it to have its own identity as
I feel like they're different enough to for it to be like, oh yeah, you know, they're in its own creature. But yeah, they're very interesting, the design of them. There's a lot of different ones and a lot of varied ones you see in the trailer. And interestingly, the guy who's playing it in the trailer, you see him like going for the limbs as well, like shooting the limbs.
Yes.
But something big we spoke about a little while ago when we first touched on this, when it was only a teaser trailer, was we were hoping, they would take some things they did for Dead Space and put it into this game. A notable example being the player death animations.
Yes.
Because for me, the player death animations were a really good part about Dead Space games. Even though it was kind of bad because you're like, oh, you know, I've just died, fucking hell. But it was kind of interesting, right, to see your character get completely fucking torn apart and it be different every single time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there are compilation videos on YouTube of just like how every way to die in the game, right?
Isaac and getting shit rocked in like five different ways.
Yeah, and there's going to be a compilation for this game.
100%, yeah.
The few that we have seen already, like I was like, whoa, man, I'm getting a bit nauseous.
Like
at
5 minutes like, in, like the guy's head gets like half ripped off, doesn't it? And like, eaten off. Like, ooh, God, it looks grim. It looks very, very grim. It's also like a little bit of there's within like 5 seconds in the trailer, there's that big robot that splatters that guy's brains as well. Which is kind of cool because that's something that Dead Space didn't really play with, did it? Like robots and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the necromorphs weren't enough for you.
Not only that, you've got rogue sentient AI, you know, as well now. Because there's just some bits of his trailer which is just fantastic. There's the bit where, you know, he crawls under the guy who's like webbed in the floor.
Yeah, and then
the guy's eye like snaps to him. Oh,
yeah.
Man, yeah. The atmosphere looks stunning for this game. It looks actually stunning. I guess if I can get one thing across throughout this episode and the next one we're going to do, there's so many good games coming out. I can't even begin to, you know, explain it. In terms of the storyline for this game, I don't know. The trailers have been a little bit cryptic so far, but you appear to be playing as some dude who is potentially a prisoner on like a penal colony type thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if they're almost going to play a little bit of a like an Alien 3 on it, where like you weren't intended to be a prisoner, but you crash landed, and the warden of the prison has taken you in and kept you alive, but
potentially,
obviously. Yeah, like,
I'm just sort of like Kill Again, man. It's fucking, it's meaty.
It's awful, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like his head is, he's sort of like, it looks like he's going to eat like the whole head, but then he kind of bites down and just rips the face off. Oh, my.
Yeah, and it's like 3/4 of the skull just gone, and then there's just like a little bit of the back, and
it's worse than them just like decapping the body.
That's minging, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's like, there's like fleshy bits, and there's also some alien looking egg section as well with like, weird technical alien things. I'm interested to see more. I'm interested to play this, to be honest, because it looks like it's right up my fucking alley. I can't lie.
Oh, you and me both, brother.
It's ticking boxes, isn't it? It's ticking a lot of boxes.
Definitely. Yeah. You don't have to go very far with us to kind of like our love for Dead Space.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like this game is like a love letter to us, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Resident Evil 4 in space, almost, right? What it is.
Exactly, yeah. Like, that's exactly what it is.
Now we've got this game, which is, for all intents and purposes, you could say Dead Space 4, really.
Yeah.
It's what it's what Visceral wanted to really do, but obviously couldn't get a chance to do it because, you know, they was dissolved by EA at the time. But obviously the whole team making this game aren't Dead Space. There's just obviously some Dead Space alumni that make up this team.
Yeah.
To the point where it's notable enough to be like, okay, well, you know, Dead Space, right? Very obvious Dead Space links. But, you know, along with this and along with the Dead Space 2 remake, I think there's going to be some absolute fire coming to the horror genre over the next 12 months.
And you're not going to have to wait very long, mate. You know, 2nd of December, I think this comes out.
Yeah, so. December, not October, December, isn't it?
It's December. So that'll be a good treat for Christmas, mate.
Oh, that's a Christmas game, that, isn't it? Oh, man.
That's going to be one hell of a spooky Christmas, mate.
Oh, it looks so good. It genuinely looks so good. And to be fair, we've got a lot more games we're going to cover next time as well to do with horror. There has been a bit of a weird coincidence, actually, in that there is about two other games that are also sci-fi horror games that seem to be inspired by Dead Space that are also coming out. So sci-fi horror seems to be fashionable right now.
It is, yeah. And do you know, I'm not mad about it.
I'm not mad about this either because, you know, I feel like a lot of people, I've seen a lot of news articles, people saying, oh, you know, all the game studios are just making Dead Space or whatnot. But it's like, you got to see, right, how long it's been since Dead Space came out. There hasn't really been anything like it for a long time, has there? You know, like primo sci-fi.
Nothing on its level. You know? So it's nice to see that.
We had Alien Isolation, obviously. We had Dead Space 1. To three, but there hasn't really been any other like sci-fi horror games, has there? And horror games as well have been on the decline for a long time, right? It's only because of people like Capcom and that have been flying the horror flag that's been keeping the franchise alive, you know.
There has been a bit of a drought on the especially on the sci-fi horror scene.
Exactly. So now we have loads of them. People are like, oh, we've got loads of them. But it's like, fuck you, man, we had none for ages. There was none. You know what I mean? There was none of these games. And now we've got to
get the people what they want, mate.
Well, like I said, it takes a long time to permeate. And, you know, Dead Space, we already know how much Dead Space inspired a lot of horror games. This is what we're seeing now. This is the next generation of that level, right? Times are very good. And I will close out this episode with just one thing. And I will say, no, there was no Silent Hills announcement. and no, there was no Bloodborne PC announcement. That's not what happened.
You were praying, Chief, when you.
I was going to happen. Maybe like, woohoo, who knows? Maybe next time we're. No, it's none. It's fucking none again. I mean, I expected the Bloodborne announcement, right? I keep getting my heart up, but it's not going to happen. Or at least, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. Silent Hill, a little bit more faith this time, just because there has been more rumblings. But, you know, it is what it is. Blooper Team? I always forget how to not say their name correctly. The guys who make Layers of Fear. They actually did show off a game, which is Layers of Fear 3, which is quite good.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think they're actually doing it. I think they're just publishing it. I think another company are doing it. So they were shown off, but that's actually quite a good implication, because if they're not making it, then what could they be making?
Yeah. What are they keeping themselves busy with?
Exactly. The Silent Hill 2 remaster is looking a little bit more likely now.
Yeah, likely, yeah.
And to be honest, the Layers of Fear 3 trailer actually looked quite good. I never played the Layers of Fear games, but I feel like I owe it to myself to go back and play them now. I'm told 1 and 2 is quite good. They are apparently like walking sim-esque games, but they are very creepy, apparently, and unsettling. So I dig that.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's not like we're gonna have any shortage of games while we tide ourselves over waiting for the Silent Hill games to reemerge.
It's never gonna happen.
We got some time to kill, Chief. We might as well just get stuck in with these ones, and then if it happens, if it's meant to be, then it's meant to be.
And to make matters worse, Kojima is making another game as well now, which definitely isn't Silent Hills. So I'm just like, I can't do this anymore.
He's such a tease.
Oh, his one was actually quite interesting. Probably talk about this a bit more maybe next episode. But yeah, he came out on the Xbox Day announcement to say that he was working on a new game with Xbox.
Exclusively
with Xbox, yes. Exclusively with Xbox. So that's quite interesting, I think, considering Kojima's always been a bit of a PlayStation boy. But it should be noted that he's not owned by Sony. A lot of people, I've been seeing a lot of things going around online about Kojima being like owned by Sony. That's not true. He has never actually been owned by Sony. Sony actually bankrolled his studio when he made his studio, but it was all impartial. It wasn't under any kind of obligation to make exclusively PlayStation games.
Oh, the more you know.
Yeah, yeah. They just gave him like a bit of capital and was like, you know, make it happen.
make games.
Yeah, make games, because it's what he wanted to do and it's what he couldn't do because of the Konami situation. So it's like he just wanted to have that freedom to make games again, and Sony were all too happy to oblige to help him do that. So it's like he's not, you know, it's not that he's leaving making games on Sony, but he's just trying something new. Like, Kojima's a weird man, you know?
He's a very weird dude. Innovator. You know, he's a mover and a shaker, isn't he?
He's an unbelievable creative, mate. Like, everything he does is just very, very weird, very out there, you know?
The world needs people like that.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if he showed us something yesterday and no one understood it. And whoever just watched it and was like, this is the one. Right? Right. That happened. I'll never forget the news article about when Death Stranding was in development, yeah? And it was him, the lead producer for the game, Norman Reedus, and Guillermo del Toro, yeah?
Yeah.
He took them into a room for like 2 hours or something, and he apparently explained the entire story to them. And everybody left that room and had no idea what they just watched. All of them had no idea what they just watched. Fantastic, right? The guy is visionary, mad. Also a massive fan of the Alien films as well.
Good taste.
He loves the Alien films, yeah. He absolutely loves the Alien films. And films in general. He watches like an obscene amount of films. You can follow him on Twitter.
I wonder what he thinks of Alien Covenant, though.
It'd be interesting, yeah. It'd be interesting to see.
I'd like to know what Kojima thinks about Alien. Kojima, if you could send us a message.
Send it into the podcast. Kojima-san, come in, talk to us about your love for the Alien franchise.
Yeah. If he could confirm that Covenant wasn't great, that would be great.
Oh, and potentially Death Stranding 2 is happening as well, possibly, which was ironically confirmed by Norman Reedus in an interview with someone.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he meant to do it. Obviously, Norman Reedus, right? I don't think he's too into games. He's obviously an actor, you know, certified bad man.
Certified bad man.
Yeah. I don't think he's very, you know, he's a bit rough. Rough guy, ready? Rough around the edges. But I don't think he's into games that much. So he casually started talking about a potential like Death Stranding 2 in an interview that had nothing to do with it. So I don't know if he was meant to say that or not, but apparently Death Stranding 2 might be happening. Who knows? But yeah, fantastic dude. Norman Reedus was great in Death Stranding 1 as well. Voice acted and mo-capped his character really well.
Mo-capped, yeah. Do you know, I still haven't played that game.
It's really good, yeah. I actually quite liked it. I mean, I haven't finished it, actually, I will admit. But from what I played, I enjoyed it quite a lot. Norman Reedus' acting in it is actually really good. I mean, Norman Reedus is a great actor anyway, right? So, you know, you're in for a good time.
But his best role was Scud in Blade 2, mate.
Oh, mate, Scud in Blade 2 was good. that's an obscure role. Next, you're going to be talking about like the Boondock Saints as well.
Oh, the Boondock Saints is a good film as well. They did two of them as well, you know?
They did, yeah.
All Saints Day, yeah?
Yeah. But no, it's good to see. And that's the thing about Kojima, right? Like, he loves that film side. He's a massive fan of Norman Reedus. Massive fan of Mads as well. But yeah, no, I can't wait to see what he's got cooking up next. His next Xbox exclusive game, but it's most likely going to come to PC as well. So you're not going to lose out if you're a PC player.
Well, you know, this is it, right? It's we always get the sloppy seconds on PC, don't we? Regardless.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like it's an Xbox conference, but it's also a PC conference as well, right? So you're not really going to miss anything there if you've got a PC.
That's it. Oh, Mr. Gates won't see you go without.
There'll be plenty for you. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in for a part one. Next time, we're going to cover a few more special games that I think you guys are going to want to know about, including a mysterious H.R. Giger-themed FPS game.
It's very, very exciting stuff, and
very disturbing.
Can't wait to bring you the next episode. So until then,
take care, everyone. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Ciao.